Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وبشر الذين آمنوا أن لهم قدم صدق عند ربهم. The Nabi has been commanded to give the good news that there is a lofty rank for the believers. قدم صدق, قدم normally refers to maqam, a position. Sidq is the truth. So when they're going to be true, then they will get that lofty maqam, that position of truth. In this entire struggle, starting from Badr, going on to Uhud, then moving on to Khandaq, until the treaty was signed in the first of the sixth year, Hudaybiyah, and then culminating in the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, and then Hunayn, and after that was the Mu'ta, Yarmouk, and Yamama. So it's all a sequence. It's not just random. It's a sequence. And it's nice to see the sequence, how it developed, how it progressed. Because it progresses like this, قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ يَلُونَكُمْ. You fight against those that are close to you. So they can be close with regards to location, close with regards to relation. Right, so the closest in location and relation are the people of Makkah Mukarramah. So first the struggle was with them for 13 years, and then it carried on because they didn't let them rest. They came right from Makkah Mukarramah to pawn them at Medina Mudawwara, Uhud, then Khandaq. So وَهُمْ بَدَأُوكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. They started this whole problem. هُمْ بَدَأُوكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. They started this. It's not that you started it. Now you look in the world affairs, then the tiny little Afghanistan is sitting here, thousands of kilometers to attack these people. Whether it's Afghanistan, whether it is Gaza, all from the west to left, everything came to attack. هُمْ بَدَأُوكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. They came to attack. أَتَخْصُونَهُمْ. They're afraid of them. وَهُمْ بَدَأُوكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. So it's a development. First, those that are closest in location. The first struggle was with these people that were closest in relation and in location. But then the Nabi, whose mission was لِيُسْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَيَأَبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَنْ يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ. His mission was that his mission must prevail over everything, every other religion. So there will be a lot of people coming up, and you have to put up with them. So first it's the people of Makkah Mukarramah, they are mushriks and polytheists, and you have to put up with them first. But you couldn't end up with them. You hardly finished with them. And then the Banu Nazir, Banu Qurayza, the Jews, the neighborhood of Madinah Munawwara, they start threatening Madinah Munawwara. And how they start threatening them is they had signed treaties of peace. But they broke those treaties, Banu Qaynuqa, Nazir, and Banu Qurayza. So they had treaties with them. It's not that they didn't have treaties. But now they start breaking those treaties with them. Again, you see the similarity that there is a ceasefire, and then who's breaking it? I don't think you need to have so much of brain to see the ceasefire and who's then breaking the ceasefire. It's a ceasefire, and who's breaking it? Any person will tell you, with a little bit of understanding, a little bit of knowledge, and a little bit of general information, that who's complying and who's breaking it. So it's nice to give big words of one world order, right? But what's the meaning of one world order? The meaning of one world order is to break treaties, is to torture people in Guantanamo, is to kill women, children, and pregnant women as the queue up for food, is to kill people that are in refugee camps. It's happened in the last 2 weeks. Right? So that's the meaning of one world order. That's the meaning of ceasefire. So when they call you towards one world order, this is what they mean. This is the meaning of Abrahamic accord. This is the meaning of interfaith. See that all these words that have been used, but then every word has a reality, right? لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيقَةٌ. Everything has a reality. So what's the reality? This is the reality. So then, there must be something else that will bring about peace to prevail. And this has already betrayed and failed. Because everybody saw how they tortured, how they killed women, children, and then they're proud about it. It's not that they did something and they feel remorse, or they're proud about it. So this is what the meaning of Abrahamic accord, all that, that's the meaning, interfaith. Now, that has to be replaced with Islamic world order. Because in the Islamic world order, what will happen is a woman will be traveling from Sana'a, Yemen, right to Makkah Mukarramah alone. Maybe some circumstance that forced her to travel alone. Maybe someone died and she's got no family, etc. So she was pressed to travel alone. La yakhaf la takhafu illallah. She got no fear but Allah. No fear, no concern, absolute nothing. One woman traveling 1,000 kilometers, and absolutely no fear. So that's called the Islamic world order. Now you tell a woman, after Maghrib, right? After Maghrib, before Isha, walk out of your house 1 kilometer. Anywhere, whether it's the best place, whether it's the worst place, is she able to walk? So then, yeah, it culminates with the Jews here, and then it doesn't end there. Then hardly this thing ends up, and then the Christians began to challenge them at Muta. Right? Look at the whole sequence and the whole development. It's nice to see these things. See, one is the person that needs primary understanding of deen, right? So that's needed also. And one is the person who's already got the primary stuff. Now he needs to ponder, needs to understand, think. Just to be appeasing yourself with primary stuff, clearly that is not right. The primary stuff will have a lot of enjoyment, excitement. But as you move on, then you get to terms with the reality that you may not have that type of excitement and entertainment. But then you can't be living with this primary stuff. That child needs milk, right? It needs milk for its nourishment. And there's nothing better for the child than that little bit of milk that it would have, right? Nothing better. But can you allow the child to remain with that milk? It'll find it very difficult to be weaned off from milk to solids. Extremely fine, find extreme difficulty. Though that thing is appeasing, But the child needs to move on in life. And now, when he's gone on to the second level, he finds it difficult. But that's the real thing that he needs to have for the proper development. Right? So now, one is the Iman Yaqeen talks, and that talk must carry on all the time. And especially when there's so much of negativity everywhere. Everywhere there's negativity, right? And when there's negativity, then that Yaqeen has to be worked on. Because at every level, there's something negative that is coming on. Look at the media, and it's negative. Look at the news, it's negative, right? Look at the WhatsApp, it's negative. Everything, so that Muslims will feel that there's nothing, no hope left for me. Sabi, he's made to feel. Through the media, through the school, through the college, university, he's made to think there's no hope. That's how it's designed. Right? So now, how to motivate the person? So you'll have to talk about Iman Yaqeen so that he understands his roots. Right? And he doesn't give up his roots. Right? And if you don't talk of Iman Yaqeen, then what's going to happen? He will feel, no, I need to see what they have got to offer. They have got to offer, for example, interfaith, let's try that out. Abrahamic accord, let's try that out. One world order, let's try it out. Gender equality, let's try it out, right? That's how they'll feel. Right? Why? Because he's not grounded, he's not rooted. If he's not rooted, then he'll look for his options. If he's working well for them, then why don't we adopt it as well? That's how we think, right? So this happens when the person is not rooted in his deen. When he's rooted in his deen, then he understands that in the face of differences, then I must turn back to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was his instruction? What must I do? Right? So his guidance is, مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَجَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. We'll see a lot of differences. Lord will find. But then, what's the way out? عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. Then go on my way and the way of the guided khalifas. Addu alayha bin nawajiz. Hold very firmly to it. Not lightly. So did the hadith say, go to Abrahamic accord, try out interfaith, try out gender equality, try out whatever other fancy LG things. Did he say that? So if someone is adopting that, what he's saying, in essence, that the Quranic declaration, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, is not right. Quran is declaring that this is perfect, complete. It doesn't need any addition. It doesn't need any trimming, and it doesn't need any type of addition. Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. It's complete, it's perfect. And if you're going on that line, whether it's interfaith, whether it's Abrahamic accord, whether it is gender equality, whether it's whatever pretext, right? That means you are alluding that the style the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had presented wasn't sufficient. We needed to make an adjustment to it. So though it's an allegation or an accusation against the integrity of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak is saying that I have completed. Perfect, not only complete, but perfect. So perfect, what does it mean? There is no flaw. Absolutely no flaw. It's not only complete, but it's perfect. When it's perfect, then you don't need to add anything to it. If it was imperfect, then you needed to add something to it. But it's perfect then if you add something to it, then you're spoiling it. Aren't you spoiling it? Right? The car is perfect. Perfect. Everything, the style, the drive, everything is perfect. There's nothing, no flaw in that car. Right? It's perfect, its drive, its engine, everything is perfect. Now you're going to put one box over the roof. an ugly boxing to put on the roof lights, you know, will make it look more perfect. Will it make it perfect or will it make it now imperfect? I think it was perfect. It didn't need all these things here. Why are you bringing about a problem to this car? Why? It was perfect. It was meant for all situations. All climates it was meant for. All type of roads it was meant for. So now why are you adding to it? So that was man-made. And man-made doesn't want to entertain any type of deficiency, right? Any type of disgrace. Doesn't want to. So when it's Allah Pak's design, then can you add anything to it? You know, around, I think it was 1930 somewhere. So, it was still the time of the Nawab of Hyderabad. So, the Nawab of Hyderabad was like the wealthiest person in the world at the time. So, someone, when I spoke about it, you know, just check up. You know, I got this Google and all these things here. So he had gold stacked up. You know, side of his masjid. So much of gold he had stacked up. So this Nawab of Hyderabad, he had gone to London, right? And he saw the Rolls Royce, and he offered to purchase it. They saw him now in India now, kya iske paas rakha hua hai. They didn't show him that welcome, and they didn't show him that reception. Anyway, he went back. And under some name, he bought about a dozen of those Rolls Royce. He bought that dozen of the Rolls Royce, and then he got all his Harijans, you know, his untouchables, to sit in the cars and to use it as a, what do you call it, you know, this, burn truck, yeah. So the trunk is open, the brooms are there, and they're sweeping, and they're putting all the rubbish inside. Now that photo had to go to London and say, please, we'll pay you double for this, but don't bring this disgrace to us. So doing all this is bringing the disgrace to Islam. Giving a good name, but really it's not a good name, it's a disgrace to Islam. And no matter what intentions, who was caught, but Allah Pak's word is, I've perfected this. So you don't trim anything and don't add anything to it. Leave it as it were. Don't trim and don't add to it. As though now we are saying that the da'wah is complete. رَبَّ هَذِي دَعْوَةِ تَامَّةِ The da'wah and that invitation is complete. And you say it's incomplete until we don't do this interfaith. Can you see that? How are you saying it? This da'wah, Allah Pak's, the beast words were, Rabbahazi da'wati tam. It's perfect, complete. And now you say, no, it's not complete. Therefore, we need to have Abrahamic accord, etc. Then even that Abrahamic accord is not making sense. Because what you are saying, let's all unite and agree upon a single parent. The parents, Ibrahim alayhi salam. So all of us, whether Arabs, Christians, Jews, we all unite. But Ibrahim al-Islam was totally different. So his own father, right? So Ibrahim al-Islam broke away from him. أَعْتَزِلُكُمْ I'll break away from you. وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ And your religion, I'll break away from you, and I'll break away from your religion. So Ibrahim al-Islam says, I'll break away. And now they became more intelligent than Ibrahim al-Islam. So no, let's unite under one umbrella, Abrahamic Accord. So nice it sounds, isn't it? But then, as nice as it sounds, then they're killing and butchering their own brothers. Same accord now, in Gaza, is their brothers, right? Ibrahim al-Islam and Ismail al-Islam's children, then Ishaq al-Islam and his children. So they are all coming up to one father. But now to suffer them, to torture them, Guantanamo Bay, kill children, women, pregnant, old, aged. So that's the meaning of Abrahamic Accord. And even if it is used for good intentions, then it's flawed. The whole concept is flawed. So now you must see how Abraham is working, right? So first, he extended an invitation to Islam. لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ تَعْبُدُونَ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ وَلَا يَدُرُّكُمْ. So he extended a very dignified, in a way. He never slandered. He didn't use derogatory terms, nor did he use any vulgarity. But he said the truth. He said, and whatever he said was the truth. They also agreed. They didn't have any answer to this. So that was the first line of his invitation. But then they became abusive. When they became abusive, then they say, harriquhu, burn him alive. He's giving a nice invitation to them. And for the invitation that is extended, they say, harriquhu, burn him alive, put him to the stakes, and support your gods. Wansuru alihatakum. So they also understand that they are faked up, because God is the one that supports, but they need to support the God. Can you see that? God is the one that saves and supports. But now they need to support the God. So everything beside Islam is all faked. The Bible has got it. That Jesus was on the cross, right? And Jesus was on the cross, so he's crying on the cross in the Hebrew language, Ilahi, Ilahi, lima sabachthani. That's the Hebrew word, right? Why have you forsaken me? So, on the one side, he is God. Right? And he is God, and he is calling on to another God to save him. Lima sabachthani. Why did you forsake me? So that means he needed a support. So if he needed a support, then can he be God? Right? So it's so simple things, but no. When Allah puts a seal, then you can't understand. Whether that person is a Muslim or not a Muslim, but Allah puts a seal and you can't see it. You can't read. Then you get people coming in, right? And they'll come in and they'll say, no, there's a mistake in the Quran. The Quran says it was right, but the Zabar Zair, someone made a mistake on it. So that you have that Imran Hussein, and openly you're saying it, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمُ الْلِسَّاءَ. It's not ilmul lissa, la alamul lissa. So some of the writers made a mistake when they were recording the Quran Sharif. So he may be a mistake, he may be a suspect. But the 1400 years of the Qurra, ulama, fuqaha that transmitted this, no mistake. But now you get unscrupulous people inviting these type of characters. And these people are giving a public audience and the presentation looks nice. So the people are going for it. See what happens. So now, I'm showing the Abrahamic Accord and how it's flawed. Right? What was Ibrahim al-Islam's invitation? And then, when they failed to accept it, then what was his response? Did he say, now, let's make an Abrahamic Accord and we'll all go under one umbrella? Father, son, everybody, you go under one umbrella. Did he say that? Then what did he say? He said, كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَذَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ وَبَدًا حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. We reject you outright. Right? And this enmity and hatred between us. And this accord is saying, no, all of us, let's unite. Interfaith, let's unite. Let's join. And Ibrahim is saying, we hate you. And he says, I'll break away from you. Tazilukum, I'll break away. Prime Minister says, I'll break away. And this hatred between us, and this will continue until you don't pledge your loyalty to Allah Ta'ala alone. Hatta tu'minu billahi wahdahu. Until you don't pledge your loyalty to Allah Ta'ala alone, this hatred will continue. So now, how does this Abrahamic accord feature then? See that? And then, you look at the Ibrahim al-Islam style, right? There was nothing derogatory used, no vulgarity used, words that were dignified. But he expressed the truth very clearly, vehemently, clearly, so that there can be no misunderstanding and nobody can misconstrue. Nobody can say that there were some ambiguous words that were used here. It's clear. So that's the mission of a Nabi. That's the invitation of a Nabi. He'll speak clearly. He won't use derogatory terms. He won't use vulgarity, right? He won't unnecessarily be impolite, but he'll say it clearly, so that nobody can say we misunderstood, it was misconstrued, or it was ambiguous. The message was ambiguous. Nobody can say that. It's clear. After that, then you want to accept it or don't accept it. That's your business. But you see the style Prime Minister used, and you see this now. Can you reconcile? He says, I'll break away this hatred, right? So, we are asked, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُخْتَدِي. These are the people that Allah Ta'ala has guided, so you follow their guidance. Doesn't he say that? He mentions the names of the Anbiya, about 16 of them, Rabbi Rahim alayhi salam, right of Dawud alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, right, all of them. But then he says, these are people that are guided by me. So you just follow them. And now, what does the court say? The court says, listen to us. That means they are saying, leave your loyalty to Allah Ta'ala and just move on your loyalty to us. What they are saying actually, that now, we have got the right to interpret the religion. We will interpret Islam. Now who's saying that we interpret Islam? Shaitan and Abu Jahl. So they ganged up and they said, we'll interpret Islam and you must listen to us. See that? And we say, no, but the interpretation we got from Allah Ta'ala's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is enough. He told us that you follow my way and the way of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. Right? And thereafter he says, where he wants to show the precedent, he wants to show the vanguards, right? The ones that were foremost, Sabiqun al-Awwalun. So who are the vanguards? Who are the foremost? Who are right in front? Muhajirin. He's the first Muhajirin. And who are the first Muhajirin? It's about three explanations given to that. The first Muhajirin are either those that perform namaz towards both the Qiblas, Baitul Muqaddas and the Kaaba Sharif. The other explanation is those who participated in Badr. The third explanation is those who took bayat at the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at Hudaybiyah, Bayatul Ridwan, right? So they are the vanguards of Islam, right in the front. Allah Pak is Sabiqun al-Awwalun. They are they from the Ansar or the Muhajirin, but they are the vanguards, they are right in front. Right? والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار, right, so that one group is finished. والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان, then that second verse, second word doesn't say that they followed, they went direct to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they followed these Sahaba kiram. You see that والذين اتبعوهم, and after the Sahaba, then those who followed the Sahaba kiram. Either. So Allah Pak wants us to follow. And follow who? Follow the Sahaba Kiram, the vanguards of Islam, right? The foremost of Islam. Min al Muhajirin wal Ansar, that min is not for tab'id, it's tabiin. It means it's not just this class. It's all the Sahaba Kiram. Follow all of them. But only the Sahaba Kiram, obviously they will be the highest, right? But they won't be the only people that you follow. You'll follow all the Sahaba Kiram. But obviously, when it's the Khulafa'i Rashidin, if it's their word, then you'll give preference to them, to everybody else. And thereafter, you will not disregard the rest of the Sahaba Kiram. But the salvation of the rest of the Ummah depends on what? وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Follow them. So the rest of the Muslims, their salvation has got two conditions. These Sahaba Kiram, unconditional, radiallahu, unconditional, no conditions attached. You lay out the carpet for you, go. Radiallahu anhum, aradwan, adbaram zannat tajri, unconditional. But people coming after the Sahaba Ikram, then they are subjected to two conditions. One is they must follow the Sahaba Ikram. That means they so follow them, loving them and respecting them. But ihsan is not just following them out of convenience, with sincerity, with all their heart, all their love for them, they must follow them. Ihsan refers to ikhlas. You know? I say, mal ihsan. So ihsan is ikhlas. Starting from ikhlas, this way is the starting point, and progressing till ihsan, but this is the starting point. So the rest of the ummah, their salvation and their security is in following. But following with sincerity, with all their heart. Can you see that, right? So you see now, this Abrahamic Accord and the Khulafa'i Rashidin, I say, can they be linked up in any way? Can they be? Is it possible that you link them up? Can you link up Abu Jahl with Abu Bakr? You all under one umbrella, can? Can that happen? Can you link up Shaitan with Umar radiallahu anhu? Can you? The Nabi himself said, you know, when Shaitan, when he sees Umar, he either cuts a line straight away. He can't stand him. He can't stand him at all. See, Umar, he cuts a line straight away. But now these things, they all must come together. Satanism and Christianity, everything must be together. Now, can it work? Yeah, the hadith is saying, he sees Umar and he runs away. He can't stomach the person. And their accord is that all must be together, all, everybody. So nice, Ali Mali Nariwanu. See. So, can you see the direction, this direction and that direction? So, we are saying, Alaykum bi sunnati, sunnati al-khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin. Addu aliha bin nawajis. Hold firm. So now, you get these two groups, right? So those that are committed on the truth and those that are committed to falsehood. You can see they pose apart. Then you will get the third group that will come in between. So in the whole of Surah Tawbah, you'll get this verse in repeat. وَمِنْهُمْ مِنْهُمْ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ النَّبِيَّ Right? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَذَلِّي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي Right? So, you got this minhum coming up all the time. All the time it's coming up. I would say at least about six times that you can, even more than, maybe more than وَمِنْهُمْ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَلْمِذُكَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ Right? So this minhum is coming all the time. But then, it's nice to see that who is being referred to, minhum, amongst them, right? Amongst them. So this word amongst them, who is the Quran Sharif referring to? That's my complaint nowadays, that they're learning the Quran Sharif, they're reading the Tarjima, but how many of us take out the time to understand and to work out the message of Allah Ta'ala? What is the message? What Allah is conveying to us? What He wants from us? Right? Will He be pleased with this attitude? He's saying repeatedly, فَلَا يَتَذَبَّرُونَ فَلَا يَتَذَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ Are they pondering? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَاعْتَبِرُوا So, when I'm looking at it, that's the most repeated verse in the Qur'an Sharif. تِلْكَ الْأَمْثَارُ نَذْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ Only these people, they will understand it. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah Pak says, all ulama line up, right, line up. But now, you didn't take the pains to try and find out this amsal, tilkal amsal nadribu alinnas, wa ma yaqiluha illa alimun. So you read through it and finish class. But did you try and figure out that what was Allah Pak getting at? مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارَ The first misal that Allah Pak is giving in the Quran Sharif, did you try and work out what Allah Pak is referring to? Who is He referring to? We read it, wrote the imtihan, 100 out of 100, finish. Let's go to the next thing.
How many of us went to think, all right, who Allah Pak is referring to here? And He wants us to think, understand. Now this, all this problem taking place, right? So, people give random suggestions. So coming out of the masjid, one person says, why must make jihad? Okay, mashallah. So what must you make jihad? Take out guns. So you take out guns, they'll take out machine guns. Then what happened after that? Oh, then must throw bombs. Then they'll take out supersonic bombs. What do you do then? So try and understand. You can't just do things randomly. Just do things randomly. Just do whatever comes to your mind. Just do that. All these things happen in India. Someone did something randomly, right? And there's always a constant struggle between the Hindu and the Muslim in India, right? And there's a constant struggle. So there'll be some people that will be impulsive, that will do something. I know around the 60s, 70s, so someone threw one pig head in the Eidgah. Now the Muslims had woke up, started killing. Next moment the army was there, and over 1,000 Muslims were killed. Now how many women will become widowed? How many children become orphaned, right? And how many people will be in jail, right? And it's a Hindu government, do you stand a chance? Now, aage piche kuch sochte nahi. They don't think, they just become emotion, just do things. I was there by Hazrat Jiramtari, and Indira Gandhi's son, his plane crashed, right, and he died. Right? And I won't tell you the place, but people began to distribute mitai. Now, we're still small, and we want to see now what's Hazrat Jiramtari's response. As you look at this, they don't understand. Hukumat kiski hai? What will it cost her to just stir up a problem in some place, right? Stir up a problem. Now, when the problem was stirred up, so she can't be implicated. They'll just throw a pig somewhere, right? And the fight carries on. Thousands of Muslims she butchered. But what was the catalyst? Catalyst was, you picked on my son. See, when he died, then you made a day of celebration, right? So you acted randomly, and then a thousand of your people were killed because of that. Hazrat Jiramtari is got a sight, and it happened. What he said, it wasn't a dream. I saw the thing from the beginning. The thing crashed. He died. We were celebrating, and the next morning, there's mutual fights. See that? So those people that are struggling, whichever way, boycott, whatever, we're not fighting with them. But all I'm saying was, there are soch karke karo, jo kuch karna hai. Whatever you need to do, think what you're doing, don't just act randomly. Someone says, oh, yes, boycott this camp. I said, all right. I don't stop anybody, right? But I like to see now time. Now, boycotted, did a lot of things. And 4 months' time, that medication wasn't available, the same person is queuing up to go to the discount. You see what happens? You make an embarrassment of yourself. You did these things here, and then you bring an embarrassment to yourself. Now that's why I say, understand what you're doing. This is not boycott, right? Who are you boycotting? It's one here, that company, that company. But now, aren't all the Arab states supportive of America and Israel? Are they not? So then you mustn't go for Umrah then. That's what it amounts to. If you're doing all the maths right, then so who is supporting this whole thing? When they're supporting, can you go for Umrah then? So no, that's a different thing altogether. We move that from the equation. So there's no understanding here. Anybody, kisi ke zehn mein jo kuch aa gaya, isne kar liya. Whatever came to your mind, you just did it. So we can't stop them, we can't argue with them, because we can understand what will be the response. But now, it's a process of making them to understand. Someone this last week is asking me, that why was it that the jihad only started after 13 years? 13 years, Makkah Mukarramah, they went through the suffering, and But the 15th year was the Badr. So they went through all that suffering. After 15 years, then, أُذِينَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Permission was granted. As Imam Ghazali, what he says, jihad is not just fighting randomly. It's an organized thing, right? And you are now the people of Allah Ta'ala, Rijalullah, the people of Allah Ta'ala. So you need to show the highest level of discipline. You can't just go, I kill everybody, woman, children, old person, not participating, just don't kill. You can't do that. So, for the discipline requires a lot of endurance. Now, you got the person, he chopped off your hand, right? He chopped off your hand, and you got the person, and you can just ask him one time, one shot. At that 11th hour, he said, La ilaha illallah. You got any chance? So what level of endurance you need to have, what level of discipline you need to have, self-control you need to have. So 13 years was to learn discipline, self-control, endurance, right? So that person asked that question. So his next question will be, what his next question will be? That means everybody that came afterwards, they must go for 13 years discipline, training, then they can come. That's what it means, right? Right? I can see now someone that understands the whole thing, how they're going to think, right? So this answer, I didn't find it in any kitab, but I thought about it, alhamdulillah, it came to my mind. So the 13 years, the first 13 years, was to create a mold, right? Create a design. So the people that will come thereafter, they will just conform to that design. So the design is already, the mold is already made. When the mold is made and established, then for the rest to follow that mold is easy. But now you took 5,000 people one shot and tried to mold them. Can it work out? Like you see that imamah thing, right? And the madrasa also, first few students. Kazar in akhraj shat'ah. To give the shape, etc., wasn't easy at that time. Do this, sleep at this time, don't sleep at that time. You can go around and your movement will be restricted, etc. Right? The lights will be switched off at that time, get up at this time. So when there's few students, you can give them a mold, you can give them a design. But you took 5,000 one time, can you? So the mold is already made and rooted, very well established. Now as they moved on to Medina Munawara, so the people there now just had to adjust to that mold. It was so easy, made already, just adjust. And then the Sabiqun al-Awwalun. See the vanguards, the first people, just go with them. That's why وَالَّذِينَ التَّبَعُونَ. Just follow that mold. Now it's easy. Of course, it's called. See, you make error, but Quran says, پڑھتے ہیں لیکن سوچتے نہیں. نہ کوئی سوچتے ہیں نہ سوچنے کا سوچنے کی فکر کرتے ہیں. So every point I got heard about, what's the answer here? But take out the time, think, what is the message of Allah Ta'ala and what Allah Pak wants. So now, everything is ending up. I showed you Badr, Uhud, Khandak, Hudaybiyah, right? And there, Al-Ana Nafzuhum Wala Yafzunana. Now we'll march over them and they can't do anything. So this whole Quraysh thing was ended at that point. Al-Ana Nafzuhum Wala Yafzunana. Now they can't do anything. You see that? Right. So, when all these things ended now, there's a Tabuk expedition, right? And in every battle, there's great lessons, right? Now it's a Tabuk expedition, and the whole Surah Toba is about the Tabuk expedition. And this way, minhum, wa minhum alladhi yuna nabi, wa minhum mayyal mizuka fi sadaqat, right? All these things come there at that time. So now, in this Tabuk expedition, there's a lot of things to learn, right? One of the first lessons to learn is that when the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the Amir al-Mu'mineen can be only one person in the world, You can't be multiple Amirs. So people talk of Imam Mahdi, etc. And what is the Islamic rules? Like, only one Amir al-Mu'minin. Faqtul al-Akhir. The next person just put him away. The Muslims will have just one Amir. Right? So now the greatest lesson, or the one great lesson in Tabuk is this, where there's a general call, right? Then everybody has to respond. That is, if the public call comes from the Amir al-Mu'minin. And Amir al-Mu'minin can be just one person. Otherwise, the next question that you'll ask, the Amir al-Mu'minin in Afghanistan, he called me. It's wajib. But the Amir al-Mu'minin in Saudi Arabia, he called me. What must I do? And the Amir al-Mu'minin in Kuwait asked me to come there. And Turkey asked me to come there. So now, hey, how do I balance the whole thing? So the Amir al-Mu'minin can be just one person. Someone there, right? Probably a different line today, right? But just follow what I'm getting at, right? Just open your minds. So the Amir al-Mu'minin will be just one person, but he made a general call, public call. Then it is compulsory for every Muslim to respond. Right? Laysa al-Ama, there'll be some that'll be exempt, like the person is blind, limp, lame, he can't walk, right? Terminally ill, mentally challenged, women, children, right? Advanced age, so they're all exempt, right? Now, then you compare this to our day. So what was the day of the Sahaba Kiram? And one is this day that we are going through, right? So can you tell me that Islam is not being attacked from any front? Islam is being attacked from every front. Every front. From the media is being attacked. From the education is being attacked, right? From the entertainment groups is attacked. So it's attacked from universally, from every side is being attacked. It's not just an attack coming from one side. Right? It was one side, right? Then, all right, we'll say, all right, go and sort that thing out. So a few people could go and sort the thing out. But the attack is coming right across. Right across. Now that interfaith, right? With that interfaith now, is another group came out, Global Imam. And the Global Imam is now being, they're recognizing Abrahamic Accord, recognizing interfaith, all that, right? Can you see that? So that means there's a challenge within us. Minhum, see that minhum. So there's an attack from within. One is there's an attack from the outside, and we knew there's an enemy, right? Let's fight him. But there's an attack from within. Now that makes it very much complicated. See, Rasulullah and all this is in this Surah Tawbah, you can see it nicely. Told us with translation, khalas, finish it. So, Rasulullah had an alliance with all the neighbors, neighborhood, right? But the Banu Qurayza, in spite of them entering into the alliance, that they will not support anybody against Medina, they went and breached the contract. So, Rasulullah and the Sahaba Kiram were disturbed at this, that you signed and you agreed, and then you breached this thing. And you are from within. You are not an outsider. So you make things much more complicated. So, now look at the scenario. You are being attacked from all directions. It's not just one direction that you're being attacked. From all directions. Sometimes you are being attacked at the academic level, right? For the educated at the academic level. Like this Imran Hussein, right? And he pointed out a mistake in the Quran Sharif. It was all 1400 ulama ikram, all kebabs. Today he came out the Kebab Mahdi came out. All of them, 1400, Imam Bukhari, nobody could understand. Bishara, he came and understood the whole thing. The same mistake that Maududi did. But who got the time to read all these things? Nobody got the time. Maududi did the same thing. He said, no, he, from his writing, that's what he's alluding, that in the last 14 centuries, even the Sahaba, they didn't understand Islam. And this one is saying the same thing. Can you see that? That Imam Bukhari, all wasting time. They didn't know. Today I got it. But now who's got the time? So I'm teaching Kuduri, but Kuduri class, leave it out. Don't apply my mind. Teaching his class, only his class. But that fiqh was for everybody. And to be applied all the time. But I'm showing you that the attack is coming from all fronts. Different fronts. And from all fronts, the attack is coming. And he'll be shocked if I tell you, he can be sued at your madrasa, right? But when he's looking at all this information, right, then he's reading so much that he can't digest. And it'll be difficult for you to say he's a Muslim. Or he became halfway, he became whatever he became. But we didn't clean the mind. All the muck was just stuck up, reading this, going on that side, going this, and that thing appealed to him, and there he's gone. Now he's got doubts about his iman. But he can't voice him. I can tell you it's happening. I can tell you it's happening. See that? Because nobody's thinking of the time to think what is the nature of the attack. And when we see the nature of the attack, the way it has come from. Now they took out one Quran Sharif, tafsir, right? That is agreed upon Shias and the Sunnis. Should. The Sunnis and the Shias, they all agreed on a Quran Sharif. Pakistan has already published it. I don't know if they circulated, but it's published. And got some ulama also to endorse it. Now, the Shia is one creed, right? If you look at the similarities between Shia and Qadianism, it's very much similar. Because they gave all the powers to the Imams of the Nabi. Right? The Nabi has got power, right? He's authorized by Allah Ta'ala to declare haram and halal. So all the Imams have got the right to cancel and to introduce, all of them. And not only, the only thing that's missing out in Shiaism is they don't use the word Nabi, they use the word Imam. But then the Imam has got a position higher than the Anbiya. So, I still have to ask some ulama kiram that then when they are saying this, that Imam has got a position higher than the Anbiya. إِنَّ لَأِمَّتِنَا مَقَامًا لَا يَبْلُوهُ رَسُولٌ مُرْسَلٌ وَلَا مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ. What I'm saying is right. What I'm saying is right. That maqam is higher than the Nabi. So they got the authorized to cancel and introduce. So then I ask you, then why must the Qadiani be singled out? So Qadiani is kafir, right? Minority. But why is he being singled out? And then why don't we have a Quran that is also agreed by the Qadianis and the Sunnis? If they're the same, then what's the difference? Can you see that? So now, the attack is coming, and it's coming at an academic level, it's coming at an entertainment level, and look at what is happening in the paddle course, and the pop stores, right? And look at the attack that's coming. So, women, men, etc. are seeing these things, watching these things, and they say, hey, you've got no entertainment in Islam. Islam is totally dry. See, that it's so enticing. So you see that from the entertainment side is coming in. From the academic level is coming in. From the political level is coming in. Because the world Islamic politicians, they're getting attacked. Can you see that? They have to throw the line. Just for their safety, they have to throw the line. Right? So from all fronts, they're being attacked. It's not just a single front that they are being attacked. They're attacked at all fronts. So when they're attacked at all fronts, I just show you the Qaeda. If it is that the Amir al-Mu'mineen apprehends a massive attack, you know, a very powerful attack, then he'll make a public call. And then everybody has to participate. Now, when you see the nature of the attack now, then is it the responsibility of everybody to come up in his defense, to the defense of Islam or not? See? Or is it just one group, the Tabligh Jamaat? Everybody's duty. But obviously, this thing will go right. When it will go right, if there is some mashwara. Right? If there's no mashwara, everybody will do his own thing. Like you got someone's father died, so they bring a stack of Yasin, 500 copies left in the masjid. Another person's father passed away, he wrote another stack of 1,000 left in the masjid. But the masjid gets only a crowd of about 500 on a Jummah, right? So there's more than the requirement. Another person's father died, another Yasin. Phir kya hoga? So there's no doubt about reciting the Yasin. But what's the need of the time? Who must do what work at that time to defend and protect Islam? What must be done? So for that, then we need to subject ourselves to some mashwara. Now, if you're not going to subject yourself to a mashwara, then there'll be duplication. You say something, he's saying the same thing, he's saying the same thing. Won't there be duplication? And your energies are getting wasted. You're thinking you're doing right, but the energy is being wasted. So now, different groups will need to see, all right, what's the need of the time? Now they have to first go and work out the need of the time, and accordingly now go on to that front and go and do something for Islam. See, like, you know, you got this this khandak, right? And one of the persons that were used to break this whole allied force, you know, Ahzab, called the allied force, was a Jew who accepted Islam recently. He accepted Islam, and to a good extent, he went and broke all that alliance, broke the very confidence that they had on each other, he broke that, right? So he had to do something for the defense of Islam. So now, the different groups that need to understand, all right, how do we defend, how do we protect our Islam? Someone goes into the education and defends Islam from that level. Someone goes into the media, right? And that's about the most difficult one. Education still you can perhaps, you know, experiment with. But the media is very difficult. Unless you say, now go to WhatsApp or whatever else. But then too, you can't get it so well. But all right, to some extent you can defend Islam through this as well, some bayan, etc. But what's the worst thing going to be is there's going to be too much of duplication. One front and all of us went onto the one front. So then what happens to the rest of the fronts? All of us, we directed our energy on just one front. And we look at Spring Beach now, you've got 10 khanqahs operating for the population of 2,000 or 3,000. What will happen? Won't there be duplication? Won't there be duplication? So see the need, try and see, ascertain the need, and thereafter, then understand or what's to be done now. In which front, and how do we go about defending the cause of Islam on that front?